Let's go ahead and we'll open up with a word of prayer, and then I'll share with you what's on my heart. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we can come here today. And Lord Jesus, I just pray that you would fill me and speak through me, Lord. Give me the words, Lord, that would be an encouragement to these women. I praise you, Lord, for just your goodness and your grace to me. And I just ask that, Lord, you would enable me to be used of you at this time and to be and to speak, Lord, to these women, Lord, what you've given me, but as well, Lord, what they need in their own hearts and lives. I thank you, Father, for this opportunity. I just lift it up to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we all know what a gossiper is, and none of us ever want to have that label on us, I hope, right? So, in 1 Peter 4:15, it says, but let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. God doesn't want us to be a busybody, to be a gossiper, but I really believe that we can be productive gossipers. And I'm going to share with you three ways that we can be that way. You know, some folks are consumed by gossip. In fact, they're addicted to it like drugs or alcohol. There's a story of three preachers' wives that got together, and they started just fellowshipping with one another, and eventually started opening up and, you know, just sharing some really deep, dark secrets with one another for, you know, just for prayer purposes and encouragement. Well, one day while they were doing this, one of them, you know, finally confessed that she was a gambler, and she just had a really hard time with gambling, and then the other one, you know, said, you know, I have a problem too. Believe it or not, I'm a alcoholic. And God's really convicted of me, of this situation, of course, and I just need some help, and I need prayer for it. And the third pastor's wife said, well, you know what? I'm a gossiper, and I can't wait to get out of here. Oh, wow. Yeah, thanks, right? No, I mean, I know. Surely, I don't know about you. We all have our own demons, I want to say it that way, that we deal with in our own hearts, don't we? And I want you to turn to the book of Ruth. And in Ruth chapter 1 is where we're going to be to begin with. My husband's been preaching out of the book of Ruth. It's been maybe, I think since the first of the year, it seems like. But the other night, he spoke on this subject I'm going to talk to you about. And he just hit it lightly, but God really hit my heart about it. And so we're going to talk about Ruth and Naomi. We know Ruth and Naomi, and this whole book is a story of redemption and of grace. And we know that, you know, it's a picture of how Christ bought us and extended his grace on purpose to our lives. And also, it shows us in this book how he gives plenty. He over and above gives to us, doesn't he? And shows his mercy to us. But if you look at verse 19 in chapter 1, we're going to begin there. It says, so they too went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi? And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out the full, and the Lord hath brought me home again. He's brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Lord hath afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Now at this time, if you know anything about the story of Ruth and about this book, you know that Ruth, when she left with her husband and with two of her sons. And when she's returned, and it's been about 10 years now that they've returned, she's coming back pretty much empty. She went out full, and she's come back empty. She left once with a testimony, and now she's come back ashamed. She left strong, and she's come back afflicted. And we know that in and through this whole book, we now meet Ruth, and we get to meet Boaz, the redeemer of this family and of their lives. And we see how God brings them all together. But it makes me wonder, when say come back, how? But just maybe some of the things that happened. I want you to look at, in verse 19, the response of the people. It says, they too went out until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass when they came to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them. All the city was moved. And they said, is this Naomi? I'm sure that maybe once they got there, came back home, that they were probably surrounded by all their family and friends. And some of them even probably said, Naomi, don't worry about things. Don't worry about things. You've come back at a great time. It's harvest time. Don't feel like you're going to be left empty, you know, anymore. Don't say things like that, Naomi, because you know what the laws are. At least you won't starve. You get to go glean in the fields. And if you read on, it's so interesting, because what happens is Ruth ends up in, by chance, it says by hap. The Bible says that she ends up in Boaz's field. Well, we know that there's no such thing as happenings in our lives, right? It's all by God's sovereign will and design that things happen in our lives. But it's interesting how, you know, she ends up there. And if you look at, I don't want to get ahead of myself. I feel like with her being home and coming in and seeing everybody, it's interesting that Ruth is the one who takes the initiative to take care of Naomi. And it makes me wonder, if you look at chapter 2, verse 2, it says, and Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. I almost think it was like, just go. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on the part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued, even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. I was sitting there thinking, as I was reading these scriptures, thinking to myself, why? I mean, we know Ruth went out and she did this, but why would she even consider doing it? This was not her way of life. And I thought, you know, it was so interesting how Ruth is the one who took it upon herself to care for Naomi at this time in her life. And it made me wonder, you know, maybe she heard this conversation maybe that was given of, well, at least you're not going to starve. At least you can go out and glean in the fields. I don't believe, and I truly don't believe that Ruth was at the point in her life where she couldn't do that. Because at the end of the chapter, or at the end of the book, I should say, we know that she ended up nursing a child, didn't she? So she couldn't have been too old. But it's interesting how, to me, Ruth is the one who takes the initiative to care. And it makes me wonder, too, if maybe one of the reasons is because she knew and heard about that Jehovah Jireh, the Lord, my provider. And so it brings me to my first point I want to give to you on what and how we can be a productive gossiper. How can we be a productive gossiper? Well, first of all, we can be one by being a restorer to people's lives. Be a jumper cable. Be a restorer to people's lives. If you are not part of the problem, if somebody's coming up to you and talking to you or telling you or gossiping, if you're not part of that problem, or if you don't know a solution to that problem, then we need to stop that, don't we? We need to stop the gossip. And Psalms 141 says, "Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, and keep the door of my lips." In Ruth chapter 2, verses 19 through 22, I want you to see what happens after Ruth finally comes home after that day gleaning in the field. It says in verse 19, "And her mother-in-law said unto her, Where hast thou gleaned today, and where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, The man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, Blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, The man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. And Ruth the Moabite said, He said unto me also, Thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. And Naomi said unto her, Ruth, her daughter-in-law, It is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, and that they meet thee not in any other field. And so she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of the wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. I can just imagine when Ruth came home that day and all this was given to her, and she tells her, it was like, remember the little handfuls on purpose got left for her? And she goes back probably home and she's going, dragging in this stuff. And her mother-in-law's like, what in the world? The many times that I've ever seen these poor people walking out, they've never had this much. I bet she's thinking of this, because all of a sudden she's like, where have you been? What have you done? It gave her, first of all, just the fact that she woke up. She's been in mourning. She's had so much loss in her life, and Ruth just walks in from a day and shows her how good God has been to them. It jumped her life. I believe that all of a sudden when she realized it was Boaz that did this, I believe in my heart, it's like Naomi goes, it's almost like she jumped up and said, it is good. I could think, I as a mom, you know, when you see your daughters finally meet somebody that's good, that you want to see in their life, it's like, yeah, you need it. It's good you're sticking around that guy. Yeah, that's a good guy. You know what I'm saying? It's like it put a jump in her life. Ladies, we need to do that. We need to be a reviver. We need to be a person that will do all we can to push people in the right direction. Amen? We do. And I believe that Naomi jumped up and just pretty much clapped her hands and said, you know what? It is good, my daughter, that you have gone out with his maidens, and that they meet thee not in any other field. Don't go anywhere else. Stay with Boaz's field. Stay right where you are, honey. Stay right where you are. I believe that just put a jump start in Naomi's life. And I think the second way that we can be a productive gossiper is that we need to be a repeater of God's grace. Be a repeater of God's grace. You know, it takes one to listen to gossip. Not only do you need to have a teller, somebody who's spreading it, but you got to have a listener, don't you? And if people, you need to ask yourself a question. If people are seeking out me to tell me things, why is that? Am I a listener? Am I a listener? It takes two to gossip, a whisperer and a listener. And we don't need to do that. We need to be like this when they come up. Have you ever seen this? La 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 la. Come on, do it with me. Come on. Come on. La 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 la. Yeah, we need to stop our ears from listening to the gossip that's being brought about. Don't be a listener. Stop it. Don't be part of it. Ruth 3, in chapter 3, verse 10, it says, and he said, this is right after Ruth goes and lies down at Boaz's feet, and when he suddenly wakes up and questions her, he extends grace to her again. And this is important because his encouragement to her reinforced Naomi's encouragement that she had in her life. It says, and he said, blessed be thou, the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. We got to be a repeater of God's grace. We got to be an encourager, is what I'm trying to say. Be an encourager. We as pastors' wives will, and ministers and people in the ministry, you're going to hear people complain, or you're going to hear things about, that's going on. And we need to bring out the good. We need to say, you know, but they are so good at this. You can always, you know, see them doing this. Or I tell you what, if I need this baked, or if I need this, you know what I'm saying? Just think of the good things and be an encourager of the good. And don't take part in listening to the gossip. And my last point is to be a reminder of God's goodness as well. You know, if somebody comes up to you, and I know we've heard this before, I'm not giving you really anything new, but at the same time, it's something that God had to show me once again. But if somebody comes up to you and starts talking, you know, it might be best if you just take that person to the source of the gossip. Because what does that do? Stops it. My husband, I've seen him do that. And, you know, when push comes to shove, that's hard. I know it's hard. You know, when you have to go and say, okay, come on, let's go get this. Oh, we're going to go talk to them about this. No, I don't want to go talk to them about that. Because they're not going to tell you the truth anyway. You know how it is. It's best to do that, or at least make effort to do that, because what that's going to do is stop the gossip. Or at least let them know you're not going to listen to it. You're not going to listen to it. Ruth chapter 4, in verses 14 and 15, I want you now to see what the ladies do. Remember at the beginning, they said, is this Naomi? Is this Naomi? And if you look at chapter 4, verse 14 is actually the key verse in this whole book. It says, and the women said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. Wow, what powerful words. You know what they were doing? They were reminding her of God's goodness to her life. I was talking to my husband. I said, babe, I wonder why God... You know, I mean, I know God has a purpose for all of his word. Don't get me wrong. But I wonder why it's interesting that it's Naomi who suffered all of these things. Not her husband. You know, and it makes me wonder, and we were talking, I said, I wonder if she was the one who kind of prompted him to leave Bethlehem in the first place. I've always wondered that. I wonder if she was the one, because you know, we as women have that power, don't we? We can move our husbands to do things that really is not God's will. Isn't that true? I remember a time in my life that, and this isn't even really on the same thing, but at the same time, I just want to share this with you. My husband had decided that we were going to make a major move in our life, and we're moving from Virginia to Florida, and everything was right here for me. I had everything. I had friends. We were still involved in our church. He at that time was a youth pastor. I loved it. I did not want to move. I did not want to move. And I told God I was not going to move. I'm sorry, God. I'm not moving. And I told my husband, you can move, but I'm not moving with you. And at that time, we had two children. They were small. They were 4 and 2. And I just said, no. I'm not doing it. God, I don't see you in that. And God had to put me on my back. And I ended up in the hospital. Major bronchial pneumonia for 3 days. And you know where God, where my husband was during those 3 days? He was in Florida. He really was. That was the time that he had worked it out with his job, that he was going to go down there to see if this is where God wanted us. And I was like, I'm not doing it. Not doing it. No, I didn't go down then. But God put me on my back to make me see that I had to follow my husband. And looking back now, you know, we don't have 20/20 vision, do we? We can't see, but I tell you, that was some of the best training of my life down there. And I'm so thankful for that. But you talk about hard. And I say all that to say, who knows why God chose Naomi to lose so much. And yet, when she comes back, the restorer steps in, the redeemer steps in her life and gives her so much more. Her child ends up becoming, or grandchild, ends up, no, is it great-grandchild? I got to get right. King David? I mean, that's the lineage that she is passing down. You get what I'm saying, ladies? We have to be careful with what we say, even to our husbands, and we need to be very careful of how we encourage others. Who knows what lives we are going to make or break? Right? We need to be an encourager. We need to be a restorer. We need to be a reviver, be that jump start in others' lives. I like to say I learn from my mistakes. And while searching for God's will as to what to speak to you all, I came across something that I wrote down, and it's been about back in 2010, so it's been quite a few years ago. Yeah, I wrote this down in one of my Bible journals. It was a dream I'd had. And I want to share it with you because maybe it'll help convey to you our words and how powerful even our words can be. Let me first preface this with saying that there was a time in my life I used to read suspense novels. I love to read. And I was into reading suspense novels. Nothing weird, but, you know, suspense novels. And God showed me what they were doing to my mind. And because of it, I mean, I would wake up with nightmares. And it was like God showed me, okay, you can't read these anymore. I was like, okay, I realize now I couldn't. But I had quit reading them, hadn't had any, but I had this nightmare one night. And I dreamed, this is what I dreamed. I was watching a movie, and it was about a detective who was trying to find these missing people. And after investigating the circumstances surrounding their disappearances, he determined that all the people missing had a relationship of some sort with one person. And to his knowledge, they had all willingly gone with this person. So they weren't kidnapped, in other words. Well, upon further investigation, He believed he had located the building that they were all being held at. And so that's where he was heading. It was like a storage building. I could see it in my mind. It was like some type of storage building. And as he edged up and got into one of the hallways in that building, he realized he was very cold. And he said, he was like, man, they must have the air conditioner on or something. It's freezing in here. Freezing. And so as he was walking along, he came to one of the doors and he could hear some shuffling inside. And so he stopped and he readied himself to go into that room. And as he went in, he was shocked. What he saw was hanging from the ceilings by their hands, with their hands tied above them, were all these people that were missing. And they all appeared dead. Upon a closer examination, as he went up to them, he noticed that there were bite marks taken out of them. Now I'm dreaming all this. And he goes up and he sees there's like chunks of flesh taken out of these people. And suddenly, stepping up behind from one of the victims was the perpetrator, the one who he'd been looking for. And in my dream, I'm just like this, going, okay, who is it? Who is it? Who is it? And it was me. I was so shocked. I literally sat up in bed. I was screaming and I was crying, and my husband, you know, and I was shaking. It shook me so bad because I was like, me? What? What? That's gross. Oh. And I was just literally, my heart felt like I was pounding out of my chest. And I thought, what is the matter with me, you know? And I started thinking, I hadn't read or watched anything that would even remotely make me dream this. And so after I calmed down a little bit, I just sat there and I went, God, what are you, why would I even dream this? And it was like that God spoke to my heart. And he said, don't bite and devour my people. And I sat there and I went, okay, I've been doing it. I think we can all say at times in our lives, we want to hurt those that hurt us, don't we? God says, and he brought this verse to me, Galatians 5:15. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Ecclesiastes 10:11 says, surely the serpent will bite without enchantment, and a babbler is no better. You see, God woke me up to my unproductive gossiping, my biting and devouring of others. I don't want to be like that. I want to be one that will bring restoration to lives. I want to restore lives. I want to be a repeater of God's grace. I want to be that person that will tell others, God has been so good to you. Look how God has been good. Just show how good God has been to others and how he has been there for them. You will be a productive gospel if you do that. I don't want to tear down. I want to lift up. And I don't know about you. It takes controlling that tongue. and that mind, and doing all you can to be one that will be a productive gossiper, you know. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, I thank you. I thank you so much. I praise you, Lord, for showing me my sin. And I praise you, Lord, for helping me, being an encourager. Automatically, people come to my mind, Lord, that I've bitten in the past. I don't want to be that way. And I pray that you will help each and every one of us, Lord, to just determine in our hearts and lives to be one that will speak life and one that will remind others of your goodness and your grace. I pray that, Father, you would just encourage each of our hearts to realize, even in our own hearts and lives, where you have brought us from. Thank you, Jesus, for your word and for your truth. In Jesus' name, amen.